वरधारी जया गिरि वरधारी। जया गिरि वरधारी जया गिरि वरधारी। जया गोपी जन भाला जया गिरि वरधारी जया गिरि वरधारी। जया जशोदा नंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोदा नंदना जया जशोदानंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना। जया जमुना तीरा बनचारी जया कुंज बिहारी जया जमुना तीरा बनचारी जया कुंज बिहारी। जया राधा माधव जया कुंज बिहारी। जया राधा माधव जया कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आशुतोत्तर शत शिशिनाथ की जवाइंग वैसैसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिला प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आशुतोत्तर शत शिशिनाथ की जवाइंग वैस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोल स्वामी महाराज शिला प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फंदर आचार्य शिला प्रभुपाद की। ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताई गौर प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस, ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस, ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस, ओ ग्लोरी सु शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Summon Bonum, Chapter 7, entitled The Killing of the Demon Trinivarta, text number 20 and 21. So we have 20 in the board. We read together. Daityo namna trivanar trivartaha. Daityo namna trinivartaha. Kamsavritya pranodita chakravata swarupena jaharasinam arbakam daityo namna trinavarta Kamsavritya pranodita chakravata swarupena jaharasinam arbakam daito namna trinavarta Kamsavritya pranodita chakravata swarupena jaharasinam arbakam. Please chant. Daityaha, another demon, Namna, by the name, Trinavartaha, Trinavartasura, Kamsabrityaha, a servant of Kamsa, Pranoditaha, having been induced by him, induced, Chakravata Swarupena, in the form of a whirlwind, Jahara, swept away, Ashinam, the sitting, Arbhakam, child. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. While the child was sitting on the ground, the demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsa's, came there as a whirlwind at Kamsa's instigation and very easily carried the child away into the air. Purport. Krishna's heaviness was unbearable for the child's mother. But when Trinivartasura came, he immediately carried the child away. This was another demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable energy. When Trinivarta, demon, came, Krishna became lighter than the grass, so the demon could carry him away. This was Ananda Chimaya Rasa, Krishna's blissful transcendental pleasure. Text number 21. Gokulam sarvan abrishvam mushnam chakshum sidre nubhi irajam sumahagora sabdena pradisho disha. Translation. Covering the whole land of Gokula with particles of dust, that demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. Purport. Trinivarta Asura assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Gokula, so that no one could see even the nearest thing. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapada Swami. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvesesha Shunyabadi Pashatya Deshatarina Bancha Kalpa Tarubya Shah Kripa Sindhu Vyayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So Krishna is known as Yogeshwar. Yogeshwar means he is the controller or the source or the master of all mystic powers. Krishna says to Arjuna, behold my mystic powers in the ninth chapter, Yogeshwar. When he was describing to Arjuna that although he creates this whole cosmic manifestation comes from him, simultaneously he is not in. He is separate. So although it comes from him, he is aloof. So it's inconceivable potencies. So his potencies are described as achintya, which means inconceivable. Krishna says he is the source of everything, aham sarvasya prabhavo. So not only mystic powers, but actually everything that we see in this world is an emanation of his energies. So, and it's explained also that all those energies, everything that we see in this world that is great, in the 10th chapter, he describes simply as a little spark of his splendor. So everything powerful, everything that is great, is just a spark of his all splendor. So that is the position of Krishna. It's wonderful, in the 10th chapter, the description. Because Arjuna wanted to know, the 9th chapter ends, that you always think of him. Krishna tells Arjuna, always think of me. So Arjuna wanted to know, how can I always think of you in the world? So please describe your vibhutis, your opulences. And Krishna described all the greatest thing of mountains and the Himalayas, the greatest thing that we see in terms of, you know, mountains. And indeed, when you're actually able to see all the things, there's some sort of a, you know, amazing manifestation of fishes and the shark. So when you go to the aquarium and then you see the different creatures, when you see the shark is something like, well, even if the shark is very far away in a tank, still, you know, it's a very powerful presence of beasts and the lion. Indeed, when you see a lion, I visit South Africa because it's my wife's family is there, and you go to South Africa, you have to go and see the lions. So we went to a lion farm, and the lions are there, you know, like, and you go in the car where the lions are. Of course, you have to close your windows because they look, you know, they're looking at you as food, and you sense that, you know, they're looking at you, and you, but pretty, when you see in it close, it's a very powerful being, it's a very powerful presence. Even you go into the little cage with a baby, a cub of a lion, that, you know, they're not viciously dangerous, you know, they're a baby. The paw is like about this size, and just a baby, powerful. So all these great powers, they come from Krishna, but he is the origin, he is the controller, and all the things that we experience is just a spark of his splendor. So similarly, all these mystic powers, they come from Krishna. He is the origin. He is the source. And he is the possessor of these powers in an unlimited manner. All yogis, they look to acquire these mystic siddhis, they call siddhis or powers. And in the scriptures, they're described as 8 of them that are principal mystic siddhis. That the word siddhi is translated as perfection or accomplishment. So in all religions, there is descriptions of personalities that displays these mystic siddhis. We hear the narrations in the Bible of Jesus Christ walking on water. So it's a display of mystic cities. It's a supernatural power. So we hear of this type of translation. We hear of Moses opening the sea to be able to cross from Egypt into Israel. So what are these eight mystic powers that are listed? One is called Anima, one is called Mahima, one is called Garima, one is called Lagima, another is called Pratti, another is called Prakamya, another is called Ishitwa, and the other last one is called Bashitwa. So what are these? Anima is the ability to reduce yourself as even the size of an atom, so smallest than the smallest. So when one displays this mystic power, then you can escape any situation that is there. Example. An example of a great mystic, possessor of great, all these mystic cities was Hanuman. So when Hanuman entered into Lanka, he reduced himself as a very, very tiny. So he was able to go undetected. Then the next one is Mahima. Mahima is that you can assume a gigantic form, becoming largest than the largest. We have the example also of Hanuman assuming this gigantic form in order to burn Lanka. So they put fire in his tail, and then he expanded himself into this gigantic. King Kong is like a dwarf in comparison. Gigantic. So he was able to burn the whole city of Lanka. Hanuman also had this display of Mahima and Anima when he was flying from mainland India into Lanka. Then there was this big demon, I think it was a serpent, that stopped Hanuman and say, "You can only pass if you can enter my mouth and leave. You have to enter my mouth." So basically, the demon was gonna eat Hanuman. So Hanuman started, "Okay, no problem." So the demon opened the mouth, and then Hanuman became bigger than the mouse, and then the demon opened the mouse bigger. You know, they were in this competition of who goes bigger. And then when the demon opened the mouth so big, because to cover the huge body of Hanuman, Hanuman diminished into this little thing, went into the mouth, and then the mouth was so big that it didn't have time to actually close on time, so Hanuman came out and defeated this demon. So he was the possessor of this both Anima and Mahima. Then we're talking about this mystic power called Garima. And Garima is what Krishna displayed when he became heaviest than the heaviest. So you become like that. Also, Hanuman displays that when he was lying in the path one time, as Bhima was approaching, going Bhimasen. There was this story in the Mahabharata that when they were in exile, they were in the foothill of this very beautiful by the Himalayas, and it happens to be a hill that was the residence of Kuvera, I think. No. Some of these mystic personalities. What is it? I can't remember which ones of these personalities, heavenly personalities. So anyway, the situation is that there was this smell of beautiful flowers, and then Draupadi wanted the flowers, and Bhima went, "I get it for you." And then, you know, powerful Bhima was marching, you know, charging into the hills, and it's described he was so powerful that even the elephant and all the animals was running out of his path, you know, because as he called trampling everything, knocking trees and pom 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 pom. And all of a sudden, in his path, there is this old monkey lying down, and you know, his tail was blocking the road. So Hanuman, you know, just Bhima just say, "Oh monkey, move your tail." And then the monkey said, "Oh, I'm so tired." It was Hanuman. Bhima didn't know. "I'm so tired. I'm very old. You know, I can't move the tail." "No, I can't. I'm too tired." "Move the tail." "Oh, I move it myself." "Yeah, please move it." And he makes the tail heavy, not heavy. And there is Bhima trying to lift that tail, and he couldn't lift the tail. So eventually he realized, how is this possible? Who is this monkey? And then Hanuman revealed, you know, "I'm Hanuman, your older brother." Both, they were sons of Bayu. So, and then at that time, Hanuman gave the benediction to Bhima that whatever his cries for war is, he will also add his war cries. So it was a combination of Bhima and Hanuman. And he also promised, give the benediction, that he will assist them in the war. So he will enter, you know, he will be present in Arjuna's chariot in the form of a banner. So that's Garima. Lagima is when you make yourself lighter than the lightest. So then levitation, you know, being able to walk in water, that's the display of this mystic city. And that's what Krishna, he goes from heavy, from Garima to Lagima. It is explained. So Mother Yasoda experienced Krishna displaying Garima, Siddhi. And then as Trinivartasura comes, he manifests this Lagima Siddhi. And then Trinivarta takes him like anything. But as we're going to hear in the narration, then when they're in the air, high, high, high in the sky, he started to manifest again his Garima Siddhi. And then there is that demon, you know, with his heavy child, heaviest than the heaviest, trying to fly in the air with this big, big weight. And obviously he couldn't. And Krishna grabbed his neck, choking, and he went crashing into the floor. When you go to Gokula, there is a place in Gokula that you see the form squashing the floor of Trinivartasura. There is like I won't say a deity, but like a murti of Trinivarta. And it's all splashing to the floor like that. Anyone see, you know, in Gokula? When you go there, just... And so that's Lagima Siddhi. Then is Prapti Siddhi, number 5. And the word Prapti means to obtain. So this is a city that you're able to obtain anything, anywhere. So Prabhupada gives the example that, you know, if a yogi who possesses this Prati city wants to taste the pomegranates from Afghanistan, and he is in whatever, Mayapur or Vrindavan, then he's able to obtain it, a fresh pomegranate from Afghanistan. They're able to do that. That is, you know, that obtains something. And then there is the sixth city is Prakamya, which is the ability to obtain anything desire and the ability to have realized the dreams. So you have the ability to manifest anything that you desire. Ishitva means the power is almost like absolute power over things. Your Isha means Lord, and Ishitva means lordship. So you become the controller of whatever you want to control. And Vishitva is when you're able to, this is the last one, the ability to have anything under control. You can control people's mind. You can be able to read and understand people's mind. So, these are the eight main cities that are there. And there's also so many other supernatural powers that are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Vedas. So here's a list of them. One is this Trikalagya powers that, you know, is described that someone like Vyasadev, he is Trikalagya, which means that they have knowledge of past, present and future. They can see all that. And then there is this Advandvam, non-duality. So not being subject to dualities of heat, cold, pain, pleasure, sweet, sweat, bitter, good, bad, like that. Or sweet and bitter. So you have the capacity to be transcendental to the dualities of the world. Here's another one. Parachitta adi avigyata, knowing others' minds. Another one, Agni Arka Ambu Visha Adinam Pratishtaba, having fire, sun, water, poison in control and stopping their effects. Lord Shiva being able to drink an ocean of poison and not being affected by. Aparajaya, becoming unconquerable. Anurmi Matvam, being undisturbed by hunger, thirst, and other body-generated cravings. Dura Shravana, hearing things, events happening very far. Dura Darshana, seeing things, events happening very far. So an example of that was Sanjay, right? So Sanjay was able to see from Hastinapur the battlefield of Kurukshetra, being able to narrate. He also was hearing. So he was able to say what Krishna was telling to Arjuna. Manajava, Manojitva, Manojivitva. Moving physical body whenever one wants. Kama Rupan, obtaining and assuming desired form. So we know that also these demons were great mystics too, and they can assume different forms. We hear about Putana transforming herself into this most beautiful woman. We hear also of Shuparnaka doing the same thing to try to entice Lord Ram, but they have very hideous forms. We hear also, well, so many of these demons, you know, that assume these forms. Well, here, Srinivarta is assuming the form of a whirlwind. Parakaya praveshanam vikranabhav entered another person's body. Spirits are believed to enter a person's physical body whose astral body is weak. But the power mentioned here is different and superior. So this is not like ghostly, you know, like ghosts. But this is actually able to enter into someone and being is a much more controlled thing. It's a mystic power. Swachandamrityu, to die only on one's wish. And who's the most famous? Bhishma Pitaha. Devanam saha krida anurdashanam anudarshanam, witnessing the pastimes of demigods, or witnesses the events of three worlds as pastimes, like God does. So, to being able to enter into the realms of the demigods, or you know, it's like another dimension. So we see, like, in the Himalayas, there is descriptions of the realms, many realms of the demigods are there. You know, there is the realm of where Lord Shiva lives. There's the realms, you know, so many descriptions are there by the Himalayas. And when you go there, what do you see? You see a mountain with a lot of snow, huge, you know, but you don't see like there's a kingdom or something, or there's a realm, a heavenly realm. So there is different dimensions, and then personalities with these mystic cities, especially great sages, can enter into these different realms. They have access. An example was Madhavacharya. Madhavacharya went into the realm where Vyasadev was there. So where Vyasadev stays, the realm where Vyasadev stays. So he was able to enter into that space, that dimension, and being able to have darshan and being instructed by Vyasadev. And Vyasadev became a shiksha guru for Madhavacharya. And therefore, in our disciplic line, so Narada, Vyas, Madhava. So Madhava was a direct disciple of Vyasadev, although they were separated by millenniums, you know, thousands of years, but he was able to enter into that realm. When we go there, we don't see Vyasadev. Well, we see the temple where Vyasadev is. What is it? You know where Vyasadev is by the Himalayas is? Uttarabhadra, yes. So there is a temple, and then we see the deities, and you know there is a city there, and there's the Ganges and the whole thing, and but Vyasadev was Madhavacharya was able to enter and have personal darshan with Vyasadev. Another one is Jata Sankalpa Samsiddhi, achieving as one determines. And another is Agya Pratihata Gati, one's commands on stop. I don't understand that one. One's commands on stop. So it means that your one's commands cannot be stopped? Like that? Clean the whole building. So that would be very nice to be a to have that mystic power for a manager or something. So this is some of the supernatural powers that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is another one. Memories of past life, clairvoyance, levitation, bilocation or multilocations, meaning that you're present in different places, materialization, control over natural phenomena like raining, sunrise, sunset, the ability to choose the womb to be born in before birth, and transforming one material into another by the use of sun rays. So these are things that are described in the Vedas. So how do you obtain these material supernatural powers? So there's a Yoga Sutra verse that says, so this is, there's a specific methodology that is there for obtaining mystic powers that yogis follow. And you find this in the Yoga Sutras of the Patanjali. It says, Jamma Ashudi Mantra Tapas Samandija Siddhaja. Siddhaja. Translation. Birth, medicines, drugs, herbs, mantra, incantations, penance, self-discipline, and samadhi. Born are supernatural powers. Funny translation. But one can obtain, what I understand is by birth, you know, you are born from spiritually advanced parents. So by birth, example, Sukadev Goswami, right? He had the mystic power that by will, he decided, I'm not coming out of here. So he stayed for 16 years in the womb of his mother. A poor mother, but you know. So by birth, by medicine, drugs of herbs, use of special drugs to help obtain some miraculous powers. In the story of Ram, the episode of the Sanjivani herb. Sanjivani. That brought Lakshman back to life. So by some medicine you can obtain some mystic powers. I think that's the whole premise of the mystic American Indians. They have all this by taking a particular fruit or smelling this or this type of thing or this consuming something, then you able to get some higher awareness by mantra. So by mantra one actually can obtain powers. Early parts of the Vedas have many of such mantras. It is believed that mantras work in two ways, because of the powers of sound and because of the self-discipline it brings. So we have heard that sufficiently about the power of mantras. So we know that the great warriors, they were able to, by mantra, transform an arrow into an atomic bomb. to have that power. By penance, self-disciplining is believed to clarify the cloud of the mind so that one is able to control the five elements just by the wish. So by austerities, by penances, yogis obtain these powers, able to actually tap into internally being able to control. You start by controlling the elements of your bodies, the airs and all the different elements, and then, you know, that becomes externalized. And by samadhi, when one achieves oneness with consciousness, this is sort of had a little bit of an impersonal thing. Well, samadhi. With samadhi, when one obtains the perfection of a spiritual perfection, samadhi, then automatically you see, for those who are devotees, who have obtained the perfection of devotional service, they can manifest all these mystic yogas. So we see so many examples of great devotees being able to display all these different great potencies and supernatural powers. There are so many narrations of that. So, it's 8:23. I got, you know, always a very interesting subject matter. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for class, Prabhu. I was going to say, based on the Yoga Cities, does it also say in the Shastra, in the scriptures, how Bhakti Yoga actually surpasses like all of the Yoga Cities, that the potency of Bhakti Yoga, does it say this in scripture, that it actually surpasses all of the mystic Yoga Cities?
Yeah, for the devotee, they're not interested, because the Yoga Cities is just a simple higher capacity of manipulating the material elements, matter. So when a devotee obtains the lotus feet of the Lord, then all those things are like, what is this? You know, it's nothing. It's like Dhruva Maharaj's realization. He was aspiring for this bunch of broken pieces of glasses, and when he received this most valuable jewel, it's like, what is the use of all these broken pieces of glasses? So for the devotees, because they have obtained the lotus feet of the Lord, then all those things, they understand that that's just a spark of the splendor of the Supreme Lord. Even it is explained that even the nails of the Lord in his lotus feet is much, it doesn't compare to anything that we see or may experience in this world. So the devotee is not interested, because it's automatically, because the devotee have obtained the lotus feet of the Lord. So then you have the example of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was a great mystic that by the power of penance was able to obtain, you know, the control of all mystic cities. And there is the most powerful being in the universe, the most powerful, Hiranyakashipu, in front of this little boy, and he was mesmerized by this boy's powers. But Prahlad Maharaj was not necessarily displaying powers of, you know, like a Pokemon fight, you know, you counteract. So here's my mystic powers of, you know, Garima, and then yes, and here's my mystic power of like whatever, you know. I mean, you hear that in the battles, you know, someone throws a fire weapon, here's my fire weapon, and then the other warrior, here's my water weapon, and then they counteract, you know, like that. You know, it was not a fight. Prahlad Maharaj was simply sitting down and just chanting Hare Krishna, you know, having faith that Krishna is Yogeshwar. He is the source. So I'm like I'm completely safe. I don't need to do anything against, you know, Krishna is my protector. And indeed, you know, he was able to manifest these mystic powers that even the most powerful mystic couldn't even get to him. You know, he tried in so many ways to kill him. You know, I mean, he was thrown in boiling oil to be fried, you know, like a pecora. And nothing happened. He was, you know, put in a fire pyre. How you say fire? A big fire. In the lap of, you know, yeah, Holika. And everything burned. The witch burned, and he was not touched. So powerful mystic, but he was not. He was just chanting, taking shelter of Krishna. So the devotee really doesn't mind, doesn't pursue, because it is explained, it's lesser. So that's why we are guided, you know, to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and then you're fully protected. Any other thing?
Thank
you. Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made a lot of nice points that I can't mention because there's so many, but that you made that brings to mind a lot of stuff. And, you were mentioning that last comment actually brought to mind, you were mentioning Hiranyakashipu, he was the greatest mystic in the universe. And we see in the scriptures basically that there are basically two types of personalities, a mystic and an optimistic. Hiranyakashipu was a mystic and Prahlad was an optimistic. So we see that a mystic has the power to defeat their enemies on the outside, and the optimistic has the power to defeat their enemies on the inside. So we see that Hiranyakashipu, even though he obtained mystic powers, how long can you maintain them if you're not an optimist, if you're not devoted to Krishna? So Martin Luther King, he said a nice quote. He says, "We have guided missiles and misguided men." He also said, "We've learned to fly the air like birds. We've learned to swim the seas like fish. Yet we haven't learned to walk the earth as brothers and sisters." So I really appreciate that quote, and reminds me of not just mystical powers, but any power, you know, the power of money, the power of whatever. Krishna says, "I have so many powers." So on one last comment I'd like to mention, maybe you could expand on that. You were mentioning that Hiranyakashipu gained these powers by performing austerities. And the funny part about that pastime is we see that Hiranyakashipu performed so many difficult austerities. He stood on his tippy toes for like thousands of years. He was the original ballet dancer, I guess. He was buried in the ground, eaten by ants. So many difficult austerities. But there was one austerity that he couldn't perform, which by comparison was the most easiest to perform. He couldn't perform the austerity of tolerating someone who disagreed with him. Prahlad just disagree with them, and he couldn't tolerate that. He could perform so many difficult austerities. So in our life, we have so many austerities performed, like chanting the holy name. We have holy name festivals, chanting 32 rounds, chanting 64 rounds, Haridasa Kaur chanted 300,000 names of the Lord every day. And if we had to do that, that's considered austerity. But still, if we had the festival of tolerating others, the festival of forgiving others, you know, nobody would sign up for that, because we see that in the material world all the time. So what are some steps we can move forward to do the real austerity? Because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, what's that verse? Bahu jama kadi yadi shravanam kirtan, tabutana paya krishna padi primadan. Even if you chant the holy name for thousands of births, if you don't perform the austerity of humility, then you won't get the love of Godhead. And in that purport, Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This verse is from the Adi Lila chapter 8, verse 16. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that one must strictly follow Lord Chaitanya's prescription of performing a real austerity of being more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and offering all respect to others without expecting respect in return. So what are some steps we can move forward to develop, you know, the real austerity? Because when somebody says be humble, you don't think, oh, that's easy. What we can see is not so easy. Perform austerity of forgiving or giving up your grudges. But we can see that so many relationships, you know, we say, oh, that's easy. So what are some steps we could do to develop that austerity instead of being so attached to the holy name festival, this festival, but not attached to, you know, developing some humility and forgiveness and some tolerance?
Yeah, the biggest austerity is to be with others and to have to deal with differences. So when you're by yourself and you have everything controlled, and when you're in your world, you know, everything's control. And in general, if you surround yourself with people like-minded, then things are pretty smooth. But the world is not like that. The world is full of variegatedness. So there are differences. There are people that see things different, feel things different. And it is the most difficult thing that we have, as you said, is that we have to face is being with others that have different ways of seeing things and being able to work together. So therefore, the last instruction of Srila Prabhupada was the last instruction that he gave us, in which he said that you show your love to him by cooperating together, by working in cooperations with each other. He could have said so many things, that we show his love to him by distributing more books, by printing more books, by making more temples, by making more devotees, that becoming pure devotees, chanting the holy name purely. He could say so many things that will make him, that will show love towards him. But he say cooperate together, because that's the most difficult thing, and indeed have been proved to be the most difficult thing, to the point that, you know, you have still so many great devotees, you know, and they're still being great devotees, and they couldn't be part of Prabhupada's movement because of not being able to work in cooperation with the others. So it is a difficult thing, and it's difficult because it touches on the most subtle manifestation of our material condition, which is false ego. And false ego, the manifestation of false ego is a self-center. It's self-center. I am. It's about I am, and this is mine. Aham mameti. The whole premise is self-centered, is selfish. So that's why it's so difficult. So what do we do? What are the steps that we do? Well, it's like anything. Like, say, if you want to obtain something, you go to some penance. Penance means, okay, I want to obtain this. I know the methodology to do that is by sacrifice. I have to pay the price. You know, the sports brand motto: no gain, no pain, no gain. Right? Say Nike is the one that one of those says that: no gain, no pain, no gain. So meaning, you want to be a great athlete, you have to pay the price. You have to go through pain. You have to actually train and train and train. You know, and it's an austerity. Austerity means that you put yourself through some hardship in order to obtain the desired goal. So you do it, and you do it with discipline. And then, you know, if you do it with discipline, then you get the desired result. Like, you know, it's not that you learn to play mardanga just by, okay, I like to play mardanga, and then you play mardanga. You know, no. You have to go to the painful practice day after day. Tere keta tere keta tere 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 keta tiki paki tere keta tere tere. No, you go like that. I mean, it's repetitively and boring. You know, and you don't see necessarily, we don't play, you know, you don't excite, playing an exciting kirtan doing that. And that goes for months and months and months, and then all of a sudden you start to play this rhythm and play this thing, and now you go, then, you know, you have to pay the price. No pain, no gain. So why you do it? Because you're inspired. You want to play mardanga. So similarly, you know, we know that to be able, you mentioned it, and in fact, that is the answer Lord Chaitanya gave us. In order to be able to cooperate, the principle is in that verse, Trinara bisu nichena tarora bisahishnuna amani namananena kirtaniya sadahari. So we have to cultivate. It's an austerity. It's an austerity that requires the same amount of determination, the same amount of discipline in applying oneself to the austerity of cultivating humility, cultivating tolerance, cultivating respect to others. I mean, sometimes, just to do things that you don't feel like, you know, like that whole principle of respecting others, or not expecting that there is respect towards yourself. I mean, that's tough. That's pain. No pain, no gain. So you go through. You go through because you know that the result is that I'm going to be able to overcome, you know, the internal enemies, you know. So it's on you. It's in all of us, you know, in all of us, that we take that determination. I'm going to cultivate tolerance. I'm going to cultivate, you know, that, so if people doesn't, it seems that they don't have respect, or they're not showing me respect, or they're neglecting me, I cultivate that, you know, and I still show respect. So we have to take the austerity to go to the next level. All right, rock that, and then we finish.
Hare Krishna. My father used to tell me, nothing for nothing leads to nothing.
Right.
That's all I wanted to say.
There was a song like that, no? There was a song, nothing for nothing is nothing. You gotta have something if you wanna be. Yeah, so this is a good one just to conclude. Yeah, the Jai Baladev Prabhu remind that We can have all these different mystic cities and opulence and things and capacities. They're like zeros. They have no value unless you put the one in front. So if you have, you can have this quality, that zero. But if you put one, that could be 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. You have then that you have value. That one is Krishna. Grantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.